Welcome. I'm Halcyon and this is Hug Nation. Today I want to talk about some life hacks to deal with people pleasing. Now, I have the tendency, maybe the need, the desire to be liked. And in a lot of ways that is really beneficial. It helps me to stay in tune with other people's thoughts and desires and where other people are in relation to where I am. And it really, I think, helps me to be empathetic and compassionate. However, sometimes it gets out of balance. And if I don't watch it, I will find myself so concerned with the needs of others that I will lose my center. I will no longer be acting from a place of my truth. And I will be in this reactive space. So I want to talk a couple ways that four ways that I remind myself to stay in the active mode instead of the reactive mode. To keep in that state of choosing versus reacting. The number one thing that I do, the easiest one to do, I rarely answer the phone. Now, why do I not answer the phone? Because I find that if I just quickly, like what happens is the phone rings and then I get snapped into reactive, I need to fix this thing. What needs fixing? Somebody wants to reach me. Okay, I want to help them. And now I pick up the phone and now I'm in reactive pleasing mode. And so I get on the phone and I'm off kilter and I've now have gone from my headspace of all the things that I was thinking about rapidly ripped into this, whatever this person wants to talk about. And because I'm not grounded, I forget who I am. I forget my boundaries and I start saying yes to things. And so I know myself well enough to go, don't do that. So I generally leave a message, text, I can then call back or schedule a time to call. And at that point, before I start the conversation, I can go, okay, I am now going to hear the situation of whatever this person wants to talk about, and I will react from me instead of losing myself and going into, well, yeah, whatever you want, you got it. And the problem with that, you got it, is like there's this momentary feeling of like, I made you happy. Yeah, that feels good. I said the thing you wanted to hear. Yes, that I'll do it. Or yeah, or I'll tell someone a timeline that's not realistic, but I think it's what they want to hear. But if I can slow down and then remind myself where I'm at, where my timing's at, what my bandwidth is like, and then go into a call, then I can honor the other person. Because I am not going to agree to do things that I can't do. I'm going to honor myself because I'm not going to create a situation of stress for me. And I think that I honor the whole process because I'm able to then say yes from my strength. Choosing the yes instead of reacting from I'll do the task because you asked me to and now I'm a puppet and a pawn. Okay, so the second thing that I do is I've learned to choose what I respond to. And that seems so silly, seems so simple. Of course, choose what you respond to. But there was a long time when I felt like being in integrity was to never let a ball drop and never let a question not be answered and never let a comment not get a reply, especially a comment that was, criticizing or taking exception to what I said, I felt, ooh, I need to make them understand. But years ago, I was working with a CEO who was going through media training for a television appearance. And this consultant that was doing the media training, they gave some advice like, try to speak in sound bites, short little sentences. I'm not so good at that. I tend to tell long, lingering, lambering stories. I'm going to stick with that. Sound bites, use the name of the company as often as possible as you're talking, preferably try to use the URL a bunch of times. And then the consultant said, and don't answer any question that you don't have a good answer for. It's like, what? You can do that? You can choose what you want to answer? You can even say, rather not talk about that, or not something I'm ready to comment on right now. Or you can just give an answer that is something that you do want to talk about. You see that in presidential debates all the time. You know, the question is like, what are your feelings on rising homelessness? And the candidate says, I'm glad you asked about that. But first, we have to talk about trade. And they just give their rambling answer. Rambling, that's the word I meant. Their rambling answer about whatever it is they want to be heard. And that idea that you don't have to let other people dictate your flow. You don't have to let other people steer and set the direction of your thoughts is a huge one. It also means it's not just in TV. It's also social media. It's so critical because we don't have like a wall anymore. There's no barrier for anyone to kind of invade our space and ask questions or be critical or leave comments. I guess it depends on how you have your privacy, but inevitably you're going to have input from anyone. And if you don't give yourself permission to choose what you respond to, you can get pulled into dealing with thoughts, ideas, arguments that do not serve you. I used to really get pulled into these things when I would make some statement or comment or a link, and there's all these people that would be saying me too, or yeah, I agree, that's interesting, and they would kind of, we all be kind of discussing this and be on the same page, and then somebody would be critical. Oh yeah, well, would you be able to say that, you know, if you were born in Africa? And I had this need for this person to like me. I had this need for them to not be critical of me. And so I would then go, well, of course, like if I was, and I would now spend this energy defending this idea, which is not, you know, sometimes maybe I'm like, oh, that's a great point. But often if it's a kind of a contrarian thing, and I would get sucked into, because I wanted this person to sympathize and understand me. And then the conversation starts to get momentum in that direction. And then this idea goes into off track into the negativity. And now everybody is kind of reading and responding to this negative stuff. And it was a revelation to be like, I don't have to respond to a negative comment. I can let that linger out there. I can let that person shoot negativity at me and I could just leave it. I don't have to soothe it. I don't have to try to make it go away, because the soothing and the going away takes so much more energy than I want to invest. Now, sometimes a negative comment, I will not react, but I will choose to say, this is an opportunity for me to talk about something that I want to talk about, or it's a teaching opportunity. I used to have lots of people leave comments like, are you gay? Or, dang it, things like that. And usually I would ignore, but occasionally I'd be like, well, you know what, there's more people paying attention here than just this ignorant person. So I will speak to this person as an opportunity to speak to anyone who's listening and choose to steer this in the direction that I want it to go, instead of defending myself. Well, I'm not. Instead, I would be like, well, you know, I consider myself a political bisexual. I will sleep with whoever I feel like it. And seeing as that you and I don't even know each other, unless you're hitting on me, I don't see why this is a relevant question. And try to, and I go, oh, but if you are hitting on me, I'm super flattered. I'm not into a long distance thing right now, but you know, maybe we can get to know each other better. Try to poke them a little bit in their homophobia. But the key being, not having that need to be understood and liked by everyone dictate lowest common denominator direction of my thoughts. Back in the day when I was like on LiveJournal, I I used to post a lot of things when I was in a kind of a sad place, in a lonely place. And I learned that when I did that, every time I would leave a every time someone would respond, you know, days later, often with a really heartfelt story that was sympathetic, often I would be beyond that loneliness. And so their comment would then pull me back to these feelings that were unpleasant to me. And I would feel an obligation then to, because they had been vulnerable, to join them, to return to this mental state that I did not enjoy. So I learned over time that if I want to talk about something that is depressing or being in a funk, I try to do it with a container around it of growth and healing and awareness so that I don't put a post in the ground and say, this, I feel terrible. Anytime anybody wants to comment here and draw me back into this conversation, I'll do so. Because that does not serve me. I also have learned to reserve the right to change my mind. To change my mind what I'm going to take a stand about, what I want to have a dialogue about. If I make that comment about that response to the person asking me about my sexuality, and then it starts to get ugly, or it's people start to infight between other commenters, I reserve the right to delete it, to protect myself, I'm less committed to freedom of speech on my personal social media than I am to growth, health, and peace of mind. And so my apologies to anyone who has dedicated huge amounts of time to a pro or anti-Trump tirade on my wall. I very may well delete it. What? My command of the language of Englards is poorly to dayness. So the next little hack I use for this is remembering that I don't have to explain why. I used to, and still very often, someone makes a request of me, and I've taken a breath. I know that this is beyond what I'm able to do right now. I felt an obligation to say, well, I've got this thing going on, and then this happening, and then with this time, and this person's coming into town, and I don't have to do that. I'm allowed to just say, I'm unavailable. I don't have the bandwidth. Or just no. Period. Not no. Just no, I'm sorry, can't do that. That in and of itself is so liberating. That story that I have, that without knowing why, they're suddenly going to create this story and judgment towards me, that's not true. And if it is, what does that have to do with me? And the final thing I do, which has really developed over time, and especially became a part of like my real daily practice as I put together the Pink Path and these exercises and modules and lessons, it all comes back to this process of I am statements. So the final hack is starting every day, reminding yourself who you are, reading these I am statements or whatever works for you to choose and remind yourself of your truth before the world starts making requests of you. If you just wake up, groggily go to social media or answer the phone or start getting into the role of receiving input and requests, then the temptation is to then become and be whatever people want of you, whether it's your boss or a commenter or an email. Suddenly you become what's needed to satisfy these requests on you. That's my experience. But if I start the day and go through like a manifesto of self. I'll give you examples of a few things that are on mine. I'm a vessel of love in the world. I practice kindness and look for gifting opportunities. I am present. I notice small details of this miraculous planet, including the unique gifts of each human. I compliment people and lift others up. I usually am between 10 and 15 statements. I change it all the time and edit them and morph them so that it's exactly what I need to hear at this, whatever's going on in my life. But I read those, and then when I go into the tasks of the day, when I go and read the email, when I read the comments, I then know who I am first and then can respond. I can still do the same tasks, but I do them as me, anchored in my truth. So then if I have a resistance or I need to push back or I have to set a boundary, I'm not doing it as I'm backpedaling. I'm doing it from this place of strength and honoring myself and honoring the other and the process and the world. And I think that's really the goal of living in joy. That's the way to live in joy, is to have that sense of self be a part of everything that you do. Whether that's answering the phone or replying to comments or doing your job or dealing with a relationship, all of the things that you do have meaning and purpose and can bring joy when you do it from that reminder of who you are. But for me, if I don't actively cultivate and remind myself who I am, if I don't give myself time, if I don't set these systems in place to give me a breath or a reminder or permission, then I fall back into those reactive, people-pleasing, worried about what other people thinks modes, where I'm not grounded, I'm not who I am, I'm not serving people. And even though the people-pleasing, it's a desire to make people happy, right? But when I can be grounded in my truth, even if I have to say no, I am pleasing people on a much deeper level because I'm showing up authentically. And even if there's a short-term disappointment, there's a long-term respect as a partnership in a much larger unfolding connection, family, love, healing that we all participate in. And by not honoring my truth, I am not honoring that far more intertwined and profound helping of one another. So hopefully some of those are helpful for you. Don't answer the phone. Choose what you want to react to. Remind yourself, what was it? Oh, you don't have to explain why. And remind yourself who you are with your I am statements or whatever it is that you use to keep your North Star on who you are when you're at your best. And that's even when you're not at your best, that's even more important. When you're struggling, remember, wait, that I know who I am. Whew, okay. Now I'm ready. So hopefully next time I say no, you will know that it is with profound love and respect for both of us and the world. I love you. Your life is perfect. If you're not aware of that, or there are things in the way of you feeling that and experiencing that, I can help. Join me for the Pink Path. Your purpose, your perfection, it's right underneath the surface. Let's bring it out together.